From the Shepherd House International in Georgetown, Guyana, Bishop Victor Connors de Sabre, anointed by God, will inspire you with rare and down-to-earth but provoking teachings from the Word of God, to love the Lord deeply and to devote yourself to His work. Discover how God can change your life and ministry forever. Now, here is Bishop Collins.
In the name of Jesus, I pray. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated, please. Are you glad to be in church this morning?
Yes.
All right. So, we want to conclude our teaching on proton. It's the last Sunday of the year. And I believe that God has nice things for us from this moment forward. Do you believe it? You know, God always has big plans for us. You know that? God has only good plans for us. Hallelujah. God only has good plans for us. I'm seeing some faces, I don't know. First timers. Wow, nice. I believe God only has good things for us. What do you think? Because the Word of God says that, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Amen. So, we don't know what lies ahead in 2018, but Christ is a solid rock on which we stand. How many believe that? Oh, how many believe that?
Yes.
Yeah. So, I want to conclude our series on proton this morning. We've done a few things, isn't it? What do you remember? When I put this book down, at least you should be able to remember some of the things that we have learned from this nice, simple book, isn't it?
Yes.
What do you remember? Let's do summary of the year, the highlights of the year, isn't it? As I've spoken about proton and the kingdom, isn't it? The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What do you remember? Proton and relationships. I hope these things are your heart. Oh, proton and relationships. What did we learn there? We learned that what God finds our relationship with one another more important than when we come before Him. Do you get it? So it's like when you are coming to church, you better make sure that you and your neighbor, you and your friend, you and your brother, you and your sister, you are in good terms before you come to Him. Otherwise, He says, how can you tell me you love me and then you don't, you hate your brother? 1 John chapter 4 verse 20 says that if you say you love God and you hate your brother, you are. How many liars are in the church this morning? So you should watch your relationships. You know, as human beings, sometimes we think we are, you know, we are wise, we are smart, and sometimes we do things, isn't it? Mm-hmm. We are good actors in the church, isn't it? Actually, some of us, if we were to go to Hollywood, we'll win the Oscar, 2018 Oscar for Best Actor. Yeah. Oh, that's why humility, like Bishop would say, it's a very important thing in life. Yeah, because when you're humble, you acknowledge who you are, and then you operate as such also. Amen. What is the next thing we looked at? Proton and our faults. Hey, should I go there or I shouldn't go there? Proton and our faults. Jesus said, if you can see, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? the lantern post that is in your eyes. It is very fantastic that you have a beam in your eye and you can see somebody's moat in their eye. How do you to look for one of the smallest possible particles in this girl's eyes, and I have a beam in my eye? How can I see it? Something gotta be wrong. So Jesus said he's not impressed by how we think we see people and their mistakes. He's rather impressed about us trying to focus on ourselves. And you see that if we were to follow God and follow his word, the church would be a nice place, because when we go, we rather think about ourselves than think about others. But what we do now is that we like to think about others and focus on others and highlight the issues of others more than ours. You see, when we come to God, it is between us and God, not between us and somebody else. I don't know if you are listening to what I'm saying. Yes. So we learned proton and what? Our faults. That we have faults. Other people have faults. We have faults. Yeah. And we should make sure that it is our faults that we are concerned about, not somebody else's faults. The only person who should be concerned about everybody other's fault is really the pastor who is in charge, who is kind of taking care of the people. But you who came as an individual to come and serve God in a church, why are you minding somebody else's business? MYOB. They say it's MYOB. Mind your own business. Hey, people have terms, so mind your own business. MYOB. Mind your own beam. Yeah. Before you look at somebody's moat. What else did we look at? Proton and our problems. Hey, what did we talk about there? What did we say? You talking about what? The strong man. Yeah, my Spanish sister. We talk about the strong man. We said that can you give me the scripture? He says that how many of us will go into a strong man's house and take his goods? No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So we learn that the strong man, when he takes over our things, he gives us problems, isn't it? So before we can get hold of what the devil has taken from us, we have to bind him first, isn't it? So you have to bind the devil. We spoke about the prince of Persia in Daniel's case in the book of Daniel, isn't it? Are you learning all these things?
Yes.
Are they all in your spirit?
Yeah.
Okay, what else do we do?
Proton and
inheritance. Jesus said we do not give the food of the children to the dogs.
Yeah.
It means that the children have access first to the food rather than anybody else. But what happens is that sometimes when we are in the house, we don't appreciate the good things that we have in the house. That's why I left my people in Georgetown. Because the eye passed me. People wonder, why have you left such a place and you have come to hide in some Prince of Wales village? I said, I'd rather stay with the few people who love me than stay with a lot of people who don't appreciate me. Because the grace upon my life, the anointing upon my life, is for the people who are in the church that God has given me. And it's normal, you know, when you stay with people for a long time, there's a tendency to become very familiar and to think of the person very, very normal. Yeah. So I left them for 6 months now. They punish him bad. So I promised them, next year, I'm coming back. Do you know that song? I'm coming back. Or otherwise it's Terminator, I will be back. We're going to help them. We want them to see that. You see, there's what we call anointing and what we call mighty. What the Bible says, it's not by might or by power, but it's by my spirit. That's what you call power. That's what you call might. That's what you call spirit. So, proton inheritance. There's a grace upon our lives here. There's a grace and anointing upon this church and this ministry. And if we tap in well, we will also enjoy the grace of God upon the church. What do you think about that? Yeah, you can be healed. Sometimes you get, you see, you understand how and why. And I tell you this, why some pastors will enforce certain things. So like last night, we had an end of year meeting with all the pastors and the church workers in Georgetown. And, you know, one young man came to, he said he wanted to apologize to me. So he came to kneel down. Because I've taught the people in the church that when you apologize and you go on your knees, you can't go and say, I'm sorry for that. Your body language is not even showing that you are sorry. So I taught them. In fact, we started by rolling on the floor. So when you do something, we say, hey, it's you. That's okay, roll. So in our leaders' meeting, if you do something against me, I say, come on, come, roll. So they'll come and they'll roll on the floor like a barrel, like that. So people didn't want to make any mistake because they will roll on the floor. You know, our floor in Georgetown is not nice like this one here. So they will move to the going on your knees. So yesterday, a young man came to he's apologized. I said, no. You have to bring a coat. Bring a cow. You can't come and say, Bishop, I am sorry. You what? Share. You bring a cow. You bring a sheep. You bring a horse. Bring some donkey, something. A car. Yeah, when you bring it, then I give it to the Kofi. You have a car. Receive it. Come and take it. Come and I have a car in my yard. Come and take it and go. You see, the car you gave me, I've given it to a church member. You'll be crying. And you see, time and time again, you know, God wants to lift us up, and therefore He brings things our way to help us to be able to respect and honor the servant of God upon our lives. Gone are the days where, like Bishop Dagwood Mills, for example, many years ago. He will travel and then, you know how people travel, like how Stacy was coming from America. And somebody said, can you hold this and give it to my cousin? She lives in Charlestown. He's going to call you when you reach. And then you pack your things, you call it up, you put it. And then when you come, the cousin will come. Hey, it's me. Early in the morning, they call you, wake you up from your sleep. Say, me cousin, tell me, you give you something for me. They will even talk to you. You wonder, did you give me something? Hello, who's this? It was like that. And it came to a point where Bishop said, please don't give me anything. I will not take it. Because he went through a lot of experiences where even when you arrive in Ghana, then because of your schedule, you are not able to make an arrangement for the person to come for it. Then they call the person in wherever and say, but that man, it's like he wants to take my money. When I call him, I can't find him. When I call him, his phone is off. So it got to a point where he will, you know how we are. Black people, we are very, very, very emotional, social, and all of that. So when somebody says, oh, take this thing and give it to somebody, we don't find anything difficult about that. So the pastors in Lighthouse, we used to do that until that time came when you get this problem. So if I'm going somewhere, you say, I should take something. I say, take what? You want problems for me? Because the person that you are sending the thing to doesn't know who we are, does not love and appreciate and admire us like you do. You can cause a lot of problems when you do those things. So a time when he stopped all those things. It was a time when you could call Bishop's phone like this and then you get him right on the phone. Now when you call, you don't get him. You have to find a way now. Because, you know, time and time again, we need to be able to have a certain awe for the man and the servant of God. And therefore, it's like the gap is being extended so that the respect will still be there. Oh, what do you think? Yeah, it's very, very important. So proton and what? Inheritance. What's the next thing we looked at? Proton and Mary Magdalene. Mary from Magdala. What did we learn there? She was the first that Jesus, what? Showed himself to when Jesus rose from the dead. And it meant that what? What did it mean? If you got it well. You didn't get it? Okay, you have the book. Go and read it again. What was the next one? Sorry? Hey, are you sure? Proton and Mary Magdalene. And we'll finish with that. Hey, okay, so let's do chapter 11 now. Proton and the cross. Luke chapter 14 and verse 31. Proton and the cross. Wow. Since you have come from United States of America, my brother Trump's country. Trump is my brother from another mother. You know how things happen? Luke chapter 14 and verse 31. The Bible says that, what king going to make war? Why? We say why, right? Why or war?
War.
Why? Going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? We'll read it again. Or what king going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. You see, Christianity is something before you give your life to Christ, you have to understand what you are doing. Oh, cry. One day when I was in school, I think I was secondary school form 3. And there was this guy in secondary school form 2. We're sitting in the same room. About 12 of us in that room. And I don't know what happened. He was a very quiet guy. Me, I wasn't quiet, but he was quiet. So something happened and then it was like a fight. And then we were talking to each other. He was pointing. I was pointing. Before I catch myself, he gave me a big slap like that. And I began to see, you know, stars. This is stars you see. It's see these things that you see here. Hey! I mean, we were just about to start the fight, you know. So everybody was bragging. You know how people brag when you're going to fight. He didn't wait for me to finish bragging. He just started the fight without the bell being around. Hey! When he slapped me! And then, you know, the friends, my friends and, you know, classmates, they came. When he slapped me, they came to stop the fight. I was so happy they came to stop the fight. Because the slap the guy gave me, I realized that if I had made the mistake to have rushed on him to start and fight with him, he would have beaten me. Since that day, I decided not to fight. And I was so excited when I heard Bishop say the same thing. I was listening to his message one day, and then he said, oh, he also went to fight in school. He said, since that day, he stopped fighting. He said, the guy beat him bad. You know, when you are going to fight someone like David was facing Goliath, Goliath was saying, he was very surprised that he said such a dog. Goliath called him a dog. He said, you a dog will come and stand up. He said, but you Israelites, you don't have anybody better. You don't have anybody to come and fight this dog. Who doesn't even have a spear, doesn't have a sword, doesn't have a shield, doesn't have any helmet, doesn't have any breastplate, doesn't have any, nothing. What kind of dog have you brought to me? He just didn't know. You see, he failed to first assess the guy and what he's able to do. And that is what Christianity is about. And this lesson here, very simple lesson, is about the fact that we become Christians or we enter into the church world not understanding first the cost of it. Like I was teaching some of you, all the problems we encounter in the church is because we decided to be part of the church. That's why. All the problems we encounter in the church is because we have decided to be who we are. If I was a businessman somewhere, my problem would be probably stealing or scamping or fraud. When GRA people come, I say, no, me got nothing. No, nothing going on here. Nothing. I'll be hoarding the thing somewhere else. or when I go and buy the stocks and I come and I'm selling, instead of maybe $20, I'll ask for $100 extra. That is what happens to you when you're a businessman. True or false? Mm-hmm. So in Christianity also, it is like the king going to war. You have to ask, you have to understand that you have to come to church every Sunday. You can't say there's a Sunday that like today. Many people say they will come to the evening service rather. Who doesn't want to come to the evening service? Everybody wants to come to the evening service. But you have to understand that as a Christian, you need Sunday morning. It's Sunday morning. Sunday morning cannot be any other morning. Sunday morning is the day we have set aside to worship God. Whether there's a service in the evening or not, Sunday morning is Sunday morning. You have to count the cost. Whether you slept late last night, whether you went to party last night, whether you whatever, that doesn't come into the equation. The thing is that as you have become a Christian, you count the cost that Sunday morning I am supposed to be seen in church. I had a guy who was doing some work for me. He's an Adventist. He doesn't work on Saturday. Then he said, he'll continue the work on Sunday. And I said to myself, he will not see me there on the Sunday. Because every day I go to check what he's doing. And he doesn't work on Saturday. He says he's going to work on Sunday. Why should I show my face? And the thing is a very important project. But I will not show my face on a Sunday. Why? Because if he doesn't work on a Saturday, why should I work on a Sunday? Who talk Monday? Yeah. Who see each other on Monday? Yeah. And neutral day. Because if you are an Adventist and Saturday is so important to you. Let me too. I'm not an Adventist. I am whatever. I'm a charismatic. I'm a Pentecostal preacher. I also, Sunday is also my day. If I don't have anything to do, I will not meet you. For you to think that a pastor doesn't have anything to do on Sunday. You have something to do on a Saturday. Never. So we should count the cost. Let me tell you, Christianity is not a simple thing, though. Serving the Lord is not easy. If you think that serving the Lord is an easy thing, please go and join what Sisters Association or something. West Bank or some. Go join some Keep Fit Club, Aerobics Club. Join something. Join something else. The Mara Harbor Bridge what sympathizes our situation. Go do something. Wales Estate some fighters. Something. Go join something else. Go join something else. You have to count the cost. You have to count the cost. You have to be spending money to come to church. You have to be giving an offering. You have to be. There's so many things that goes into deciding to follow Jesus that we cannot trivialize it. We cannot put it down. Hey, when the Bible says that if your enemy, somebody slaps you on the left, give him the right. And then you say that, me? Nah, I ain't stupid. Nobody say you are stupid. That you are not assessing. This thing is a simple thing. It costs a lot. So the book says that if any man wants to come to Christ, he must count the cost. Christianity could cost you your marriage. Christianity could cost you your. Ladies, are you listening? No, but you see, there are some people who Christianity can cause them their marriage. Some, it will not cause them their marriage. It depends on how you respond to it. Are you with me? Some people will settle with a marriage and leave Christianity, or be a bit more passive towards Christianity, while some people will be more active towards Christianity and then let the marriage go. It depends on how convicted you are about which one. That's why the most important thing in your heart is that it is Christ. It is Christ. Otherwise, even as a pastor, it will be money, or it will be the fame, or it will be the power, or it will be the authority. It will be something else than the Jesus himself who has called you. You must count the cost that we are not in Christianity because of what we can get. We're in Christianity because Christ came and he died for us, and the very right thing to do is to respond to his love. That is the main thing. Anything else is bonus.
No, nobody's got. You see, I can't promise you that you get married. I don't give husbands. I'm not a husband giver. I can't promise you that you get a wife. So if that is why you have joined Christ, you have joined the train, then I'm saying that you will either lose Christ and get stuck to the marriage, or you will lose the marriage and get stuck to Christ. It depends on your conviction and what you really find important in your life. Then you have to count the cost. You have to count the cost. It is costly. The blood of Jesus is costly. The Son of God is costly. God will not give his only begotten Son for you to now have a very comfortable life. There's nothing like that. Jesus said it, isn't it? The scripture is right there. Let's go there and see. Mark 8:34. He said it. He said it. Didn't he say it? What did he say? Sorry? When he what? Yes. With his disciples? He said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself. You see, Jesus said, I'm telling you the truth. What I'm telling you is that if you are going to come after me, that one of the things you have to do is that you have to deny yourself. And then you do what? You take up your cross. Before you can follow me, you deny yourself, you take up your cross, and then you follow me. You see, Bishop writes that when you take up your cross, where do you take it to? To a party. You see crosses at parties. You see crosses at concerts and dances. You see crosses at work. Do you take a cross to work? Where do you take crosses to? Where did Jesus take his cross? Where? Calvary. To do what? To have a show. Are you sure? To have a dance. Oh, please. Are you sure? When he took his cross to Calvary, what did he do? He went to have a party. The whole of Jerusalem came and they were excited. One man band. Jesus was on the cross and he was jamming and he was swinging. He was playing music. A white, black and white day. Jeans and white. Traffic light indicator. I saw a band when I was coming. He said, indicator traffic light dance. Something. I don't know what they're going to do there. They seem to have more ideas than even us churches. Traffic light. Do you think that is what Jesus took his cross to Calvary to do? What did Jesus do when he took the cross to Calvary to die? And you want to take your cross and do what? Enjoy? So who are you following? Excuse me, who are you following? I'm asking you a question, who are you following? When coming to church is affecting your marriage, you say, Bishop, you know, these days I just want to, you know, just this man, he's miserable. I just want to stay home so that he'll be happy and stop talking. Did you not know that as you are following Christ, it is going to go against something else in your life? Oh, you didn't know that? Tishona, it's not rice and what? Rice and stew. It's not fried rice. It's not baked chicken. It's not scrambled eggs. It's not whatever. It's not cook up rice. I hear today is cook up rice day. Hey, so are we serving? Are we getting cook up rice in the church this afternoon? Think about it. When you decide to follow Christ, is it a surprise that you have to say bye-bye? I have decided, you know the song, to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning. You know the next stanza says, the cross before me, the world be, including my boyfriend, including my job, including my family, including my... Just look at how when you become a Christian, things begin to rise up in your life. They are just responding to the decision you have made. They don't like it.
So they have to rise up and say, hey, but where are you going? Why are you not paying attention to me? Why have you left me? These days you don't like me. You see, naturally, when you become a Christian, naturally, when you follow the things that God wants you to do, your friends will begin to tell you, these days you don't call. These days you don't get time with me. These days you study me. These days it will come. It is natural. Because you have to first do undergo self-denial. You have to deny the things that you used to love and you used to appreciate and begin to put yourself through a lot of pressure. Hey. You have to put yourself through a lot of pressure. It will cost you your marriage. I'm not saying you divorce or anything. It can happen. But it will cause problems. It will cause problems. Yeah. There's a lady in our church who, you know, the husband says that, I think the husband told her that, your house is the church. Is that church? Is that person? That's your house. That's your first house. He said, this is your second house. That's what the husband tells her. And then she was playing my message in the house. Then the husband said, is it not enough? Every day you are here listening to the man talking. Now you come home to, you bring the man home to this place too. It's like, and there are some husbands, you see, they look at me, I know they don't like me, but miss you, I don't also like them. I tell you, there are some husbands, when their wives are talking to me, you see that, they'll be cutting their, look as a chair, go away. Because it's like, I mean, why this man? What happened? Is it because they have chosen a certain path and that path is costing them something? I remember one of our female preachers had an accident on the East Coast. And then the first thing that came into her head was to call Bishop. So she said she pressed her iPhone and then asked for Siri to help. Said, Siri, please call Bishop for me. And then, so I saw their number. I was in a meeting very late in the night. I said, she said she was leaving. What's happening? When I answered the call, she was crying. She was panting. I said, what's happening? She said she just got into an accident. I said, accident where? She said, on the East Coast somewhere. I stopped the meeting and I got into the car. I drove like James Bond. You know James Bond? Drove like James Bond. I wish my car could have flown that time. I think I made about 10 minutes to get to Better Hope on the East Coast. The only thing, I didn't have a siren. And I've done because my car is also black, so they would think it's a police special forces. Now, I can put something on my car and behave like I'm a policeman. Nobody will know, because these boys who walk around, who knows they are police? You don't know. Says, please buy one of those blue things for me and put it on my car. Yeah, when I'm in a hurry. That's what they do. Ambulance, police, fire service. Yeah. Yeah, in a hurry to go somewhere. They just press the siren. Everybody should park. Me too. When I'm coming to church, I'm in a hurry. I'll put that blue thing. This is like a special operations. You will never know. And I'll have a bridge. Everybody should know. I'm coming to church. It'll be nice, man. Yeah. When I get here, I say, shh. Tell everybody the president came for a special meeting. I went to check this lady up. When I went, I mean, she was just there in a car. The hazard was on. I think even the engine was on. The side of the car was smashed. She was just shaking. Hey, Kofi, you were with me? Yeah. And we took care of her. Were you the one who drove her car? And then so Brother Clint, aka Kofi, drove her car. So I asked her if she had called the husband. She said no. I said, hey, so why do you call me first when you don't call your husband? What problem are you bringing to me in my life here? So I said, okay, don't worry. We took her, we drove her very quietly, softly, slowly behind my car, and we took her home. When we got home, the man came to open the door and then he was wondering, what's this? At this time of the night, Bishop, some brothers from the church, some sisters from the church and his wife. You know, I said, oh, please, we need to talk. But, you know, something happened to the car. So he said, all right, it's a nice cool guy, right? But you see, don't worry, them cool guys, they still have things in their head. Went to sit down and, you know, I told him what has happened. But you see, I was feeling some way. Because it's like, your wife almost died. And then instead of you calling the pastor to say, pastor, this is what has happened to my wife, it's the pastor rather who's telling you what has happened to your wife. Is it nice? They'll say, why are you talking to the man like that? What are you talking about? Why are you talking to him about her? Yeah. When you join this movement, ladies and gentlemen, it is going to be costly. It is going to be costly. I always tell you about my situation, my parents. Everybody will want to be with their parents. I went to visit the church member last night. She invited me to a party. When I went, the party was finished. So I went to just sit down quietly. When I went, her mother was there. You know, and when I look at her mother, I remembered my mother. Yeah. That's when you see, when I see this old big lady, I remember my mother. I said, when my mother was sick, my mother wasn't well. I was in Guyana doing church. And then when my mother died, I went home to bury her. Then a neighbor was telling us a very sad story of when my mother one day was bathing in the bathroom. She used to sit in her old age. She died at 76. You know, my mother used to have heavy hips. Nice, heavy, heavy duty hips. Man. Whoosh. I don't know, that was my father, that was what attracted him or something. I don't know. But, and so when she grew a little bit, and she used to walk a little slow. And she used to tell us, he said, when you are young, these hips, they look good. Though. When you get old, they become heavy on the legs. So, she used to sit and bath. And the neighbor was telling us how one day, somebody came to visit them, the neighbor. And they said, is there a baby next door? Because I've heard somebody like a baby for a while now. The neighbor said, oh, no, there's no baby there. So she, you know, kind of ignored. The neighbor even didn't remember what was going on. But after a while, then the neighbor, the visitor said, ah, are you sure there's no baby? I'm hearing something. The neighbor said, oh, there's an older big woman who lives there and she's just with her daughter. So I don't know, maybe. Then they said, okay, let's go and check. When they went, my mother had fallen down in the bathroom and she couldn't get up. Only God knows how long. Her leg had actually also gone into the chair that she was sitting on to bath. So she was there crying for help, moaning, crying for help. I don't know how long. When the lady told us that, I tell you. I mean, you look at it. Why should I be here preaching when my mother needs help in Ghana? You ask yourself. Why should I be here preaching to people I don't know? People who sometimes don't even appreciate you. Why should I be here preaching and my mother is going to bath and she falls in the bathroom and can't get up and there's nobody because my big sister had gone out. And can't get up. And I am here lifting people up in Guyana. You think about it. If it doesn't have to cost you something. And the same thing happened to my father. And I told you too. My father, when I told my father I was coming to Guyana, my father gave me a wise saying. He said he saw his friend at the hospital. Big man at the hospital. His son was carrying him on his back. Entering the hospital because he was not well. And my father asked me, he said, when I am not well, who's going to take me to the hospital? And the words goes through your heart like that. Pew! Then you feel like this Guyana that you are going
Because he's saying that if you are moving from Europe, why don't you come back home? I have a business. I have properties. I have lands. You wouldn't have to struggle. So if you're leaving Europe, why don't you come and be with me and help me? I'm even getting old. It's strangers who are running the business. Why don't you come? It's like it doesn't make sense for me to leave Europe and come to Guyana. It's when there's another Ghana where Lighthouse and the church is stronger, I can get a church to pastor. I can start another branch somewhere. It's like there is no reason for me to go the other side. Now you see, it's a price. It's a price. For some of us, you will have to enter the kingdom with one leg. When we see you at the gate of heaven, you are coming like that. You lost one leg on earth because of your struggles and your challenges. It will cost you. Anybody who is following Christ thinking that things are going to be smooth and nice, ladies and gentlemen, on the 31st of December 2017, I came to tell you that it is not so. There are things that you have to let go. You have to break. You have to deny yourself of. You have to put yourself through. Hey, even we said fasting. Some of you have never fasted ever in your life. Breakfast. Hey! If you don't eat breakfast, you get sick. You see, when you grow up, you realize that breakfast is nothing really. What's breakfast? I mean, you don't have time for breakfast. Something as simple as breakfast. Something as simple as a cup of tea and bread. You can't leave it. You can't forgo it. Something as simple as rice. Rice! Rice is not finishing in Guyana yet. So if you leave one rice for today, there's more rice ahead of us. Some people see your bed. Say, I like my bed. I don't like sleeping late. I like going to my bed early. This, that. And you say you are still a Christian. Those who become good Christians are those who understand this road of self-denial. It's not easy. I said it's not easy. You have to pay a price. If you don't want to pay a price, you cannot become a strong Christian. You cannot become a good Christian. You cannot be a better Christian. So the things that we used to do, the places we used to go, the friends we used to have, the things we used to listen to, all those things, we have to say goodbye to them for the sake of the road we have decided to walk on. It's going to be a burden. Isn't it, Abraham? It's going to be a burden. You can't carry those burdens. When you go to church, he's asking you, why are you there in church so long? Why? You is me boss man? I didn't know that I have an owner here on earth. I didn't know that you are the one who gave me life. You see, even last evening, for those of you who were there, there was a prophecy that came. And then the person who prophesied mentioned my full name. So one of the pastors, I think Abigail, Lady Pastor Abigail came to say that she was kind of struggling. Why does the person have to prophesy and mention my name? Do you get it? It's just like when Mary came to pour the oil on Jesus' feet, and then Judas was saying, why does she have to do this thing? He said, and the Lord told her that it is about me. That's why. You know, so I was thinking about it. I was thinking about it and then comparing it to some things that have been happening around. You see, sometimes people make the mistake to think that the pastor and his wife or the pastor and his assistant, they are all the same. Should I say it again? I'm saying that sometimes we make the mistake that the person who is close to the pastor, he is as powerful as the pastor himself. Whether it's a wife, whether it's an assistant, whether it's a personal assistant, whoever it is.
So what happens is that then people begin to listen to those people, even sometimes more than the main person. Because I've had some things in the church in Georgetown that I wonder who gave this instruction. I wonder who on earth will come up with such an idea. Who on earth will do something like this and not ask me? I wonder. Then I ask myself, how many bishops are there in this church? I don't know. Are you a bishop too? Hey, I didn't bring my ring. I should have brought my ring. Tonight, I'll put on my ring. My bling bling ring. I'll put on it. Yeah. Yeah? You want to touch it? You want to touch my hand tonight? Hey. I see. Then Lady Pastor Abigail was saying that God was telling her. I was rather the one who was running through it. And I said, you know what? God was trying to make it very clear. Who is in charge here? Is it the ministry? Is not the pastor and his assistant. The ministry is not pastor and his wife. So, for example, sometimes that's not even, it's very confusing. Sometimes that's my wife will say something. And then I'll say something. And then people get confused. Why are you confused? Why are you confused? How can you be confused? There's only one head. That's what Abigail was explaining. I hope you got it. That's what he was saying. It's like the people are prophesying and they were saying that God says, this is my pastor, the person I've put here. And then they mentioned my full name with my title. So she said, but why are people prophesying and then they are mentioning bishop's name? I feel very funny about it. He said, the Lord told her that it is important that people know who is here. And when I was thinking about it, I realized that, you see, it's true, because sometimes somebody who's an assistant can do that. Like, for example, there are a few things going on in Georgetown that when I look at it, I just ask myself, what's this? What's that? What's this? How does this thing come here? Who said this? Who authorized this? How is this thing going on? They realize that the people have forgotten to ask me. I'm the pastor of the church. Even though I'm here, my main office is there. Yeah. Oh, you don't understand. Yeah. So when I said, I've come to Wales, we want to start a church, and they thought I've left the place. So now they have the power to decide. Yeah. A church I've been pastoring for 12 years. You just 2 months, you say you are in authority. You see? So, it will cost, sometimes it costs even some little peace in my life. Because I have to tell my wife, I don't like what you are doing. Finish. And then she becomes sad. I say, it's okay. You just be sad for a little while, you'll be okay. It will gaff when you get okay. But once it comes to the church, it's only one. You have, it costs you something. It costs you something. It costs you something. Because of the church, sometimes I cannot even go to some places. I cannot go to some, because when you go, they say, hey, Bishop, I cannot go to border market to buy things I want to buy. Can I go to border market? Oh, some people will go. I mean, it's not a problem. Some people, but so when I go to border market and I'm holding bags, I say, how much for the tomatoes? What is Edo? Edo, please give me £2 of Edo. The please for a discount. And there's only the person, Bishop! Yeah. And then I said, oh, I passed the bishop in border market. He was fighting for discount. And even the person you are asking for discount from will say, but I thought he said, Bishop, he's it cost you something. Hey, are you there? So put on and your cross first. Look at the cross first. So when proposals and relationships end, it's not a problem. Yeah, don't make it look like it's part of the cross you must carry. Ah, we
came to the church for a relationship. Who told you? The relationship was with Christ. Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying? Yeah. We left some to come here, so if we will leave and go. You don't understand, sweetie. You don't understand. You don't understand. You make your face come and sit in front of the church. You don't understand. Do what you are doing because you love God, not because of a relationship. No. It's wrong. It's a very bad foundation.
Amen. My time is up, please. Please stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Short message. We'll continue tonight in Georgetown. Hallelujah. 9:30. We start. Yes. Let's go. Close your eyes with me. Why don't you thank God for the last Sunday of the year? Thank God that you are still alive. Thank God that you are still going to be alive come 365 days from now. Why did you thank God for the good things? Thank God for the seemingly bad things. Thank God that indeed He has caused all things to work together for your good. Oh, my Jesus. Lift up your voice and thank God this day. The Bible says it is He who has made us, and not we of ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. What a great God He is. What a wonderful God He has been. Lika braske brende bekeria basata barababa. Marandere meke bresata balabaka brodo. How He has led us, O God. How He has led us into His house. He has led us into His fold. We who were nobodies. We who were nothing. He has brought us into His house. Think about how God found you here in Wales on the West Bank and has ushered you into His church, into His kingdom. This year, it is a memorable year because He came down, His death on the cross meant something to you, has begun to mean something to you. Thank God for your life. Thank God for the cross. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God indeed. Come what may, if you have to sacrifice, if you have to put something down, yes, bring it on. Yes, we will serve Him. Yes, we will glorify Him. Thank God for your life. Thank God for this last Sunday. Thank God for His word, teaching us about the foremost things, the first things, first in time, first in place, first in value. Continue to thank God. Lift up your voice. Le kabro se kebrindi. Kaya basata barababa. Rakata tala makebre bebe sete brebebe. Randere mekebre be sitaria bababa. Rakata tala barababa. Rasata la barababa. Rasata tata la makiria bababa. Le kabra sata la baraba. Le kabra baba sita baraba. Re kabala baraba baraba. Re sata la baraba baraba. Re kabala basata la ba. It's like the morning dawning. Once the evening has faded, new things are ahead of us. Thank God for what is gone, for what is passing, for what is coming. Bless the name of the Lord. Le kabra basata baraba ba. Re kerebe abasita la baraba. Rekabala baba sete berebe. Lekabra baba sete la baba. Hallowed be thy name, O God.
Yes, Lord.
Zinda ma kebre bebe kebre derebe kebre derebe. Neborobo shikabra baba sada la baba. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. This morning, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, I worship His holy, His holy name, sing like that.
For your presence here, oh God. Thank you for your power, oh God. Thank you for your presence and your favor, Lord. Lika brusi kabrande mekeria basatara baba. Reketetere mekabra masutara makibre nere. Le mama sita ya kabara bandere mekebere. Rekabara basita makabandere. Thank you for your strength, oh God. Thank you for your power and your fire, oh God. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you are here, oh God. Libro Setebaya, we may not see you, but we believe. God, you are with us. And if God be for us, and if God be for us, and if God indeed be for us, who can be against us? Blessed be your name, O God. Father, I want to bless you this morning. I want to thank you for your presence. Thank you for all the Sundays that, Lord, you gave us in 2017. What a blessing it is to also even end this year on a Sunday. We can only believe and hope and be confident that come tomorrow, the 1st of January 2018, we are going to be alive and we are going to begin to start. We are going to begin to experience better things, good things. The things that, Lord, you plan for us to receive in 2018, our mouths are open wide. We are filled with expectation to receive and to enter into 2018, oh God, because of the good things you have in store for us. Thank you for the work here on the West Bank. Thank you for the churches, oh God, on the West Coast, the East Coast, the East Bank, the West Bank, the churches in Georgetown. Thank you for the new things that, Lord, you are even going to usher into these churches as we enter into 2018. Thank you for the workers. Thank you for the leaders. Thank you for the folks, the members. Thank you for everybody, oh God, that, Lord, we have encountered this year. And the many more that are yet to come next year. Thank you for your faithfulness. You have been faithful. Lord, there is no complaint. There is not a single thing we can look back at and say, no, you know what? You didn't show yourself as God. You have proven yourself all these days, all these weeks, all these months in 2017. And therefore, it's appropriate and it's right that, Lord, we give you praise and we give you glory and we give you the honor. For great are you, O God. I want to thank you for bringing this morning service thus far. Thank you for your word on Proton. We will never forget what is important and what is first and what must be first in our lives. I give you praise for this day in Jesus' name. So just your eyes closed, your heads bowed. It's customary that, you know, we don't take things with us into the new year. Nobody wants to enter the new year with bad things, isn't it? It's customary. That's why ODS night we go to church, dress up and all of that, you know, because we want to enter the new year with the good things. I don't know what you have in your mind, what you have in your heart, what you have in your head. But if you are here this day and there's a relationship, there's you and somebody don't flow. Whether the person is here or the person is not here, that is not the issue. But the issue is that you don't want to enter into 2018 with anything, any malice, any grudge, any bitterness in your heart. I want us to just pray very quietly. I want you to speak to God. We know ourselves. Speak to God. Before I bring the service to a close, just speak to God and release yourself. Release the person right now. In Jesus' name, pray. Very gently, very softly pray. Pray. Speak to God very quietly, very gently. I felt I should do that before I end the service. So even if it's one person, two people, whatever it is, it must be done. Pray. Ask God to forgive you. Forgive you. And you forgive that person also. Make sure 2018 doesn't meet you with baggages and loads and containers. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. Blessed be your name, O God. Kebroshi kabaranas. Mayandere me kebrenes. Leboroboshi kabranabakabaranas. Thank you, Lord Jesus. A
I thank you for the release. Thank you for the liberty. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the lightness in our spirits. Thank you that we are never the same again. We are entering into 2018 majestically because we know that we are not carrying any baggage or luggage into this fresh and new year you are blessing us with. Father, thank you for everyone here. Thank you for the release. And thank you for what you have accomplished in our lives. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Somebody said amen.
Maybe as you are listening to me right now, you know deep down in your heart that you are not born again. You know deep down in your heart that you are not saved. If you were to die right now, will you go to heaven or hell? It takes faith. It takes believing in Jesus to go to heaven. You want to pray this prayer with me and say, Heavenly Father, I am a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. Wash me with the precious blood of Jesus. I believe with my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. I believe Jesus died for me and I believe God raised him from the dead. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and make my heart your home. I believe with all my heart that by this prayer I am saved from hell. Thank you, Father, for saving my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. You are born again. God bless you.
We believe you have been blessed by the powerful teaching of God's Word. For booking and more information on the ministry of Bishop Collins, please call us on 592-225-6760 or email us at shepherdhousegy@gmail.com. You can also log on to www.shepherdhouseinternational.org. God richly bless you.